We're in the small studio. It's like,
Exactly, Marley. I'm feeling a little too close
I
to
know. I'm
you right
trying not to touch you. I don't want to invade your
Don't
personal
invite,
space.
don't cross the line.
We are back. We have just come back from MMS and from Vegas. I was noticing you're a little bit off kilter a bit.
No way, I'm ready to go back. Let's go. Let's go
Okay.
to
We had a couple of announcements today for the news. That's nice and quick. The very first one was the fact that we're back,
Yes.
but
Windows Azure Infrastructure as a Service is now available
oh.
at general availability for Windows Azure Infrastructure as a Service,
Now,
along with some other Azure services.
right. And with that, they also have announcements of pricing.
Yep.
And it turns out that we're actually very competitive with the number of the industry players that
Oh,
are out
yeah?
there. It's good to know. And available right now, like as in like the 16th.
Today,
Done.
yes,
Finished.
absolutely.
Okay.
Right
Now,
up there.
for the news that we came out with at MMS, there's a couple of different ones. The first one I want to call out is the management pack for System Center itself for Azure.
Correct.
So the System Center management pack for Windows Azure. Not to be confused with SCOM or OpsMan or Management Pack. It is the System Center Management Pack for Windows Azure is available GA right now. People go off to monitor your resources, utilization, put in your subscription information, sort of stuff to manage and take a look at it with your System Center 2012 SP1 installs.
Absolutely. We also have a public preview of System Center Advisor available. So that's now in preview available for our free download. It basically is kind of this best practice analyzer kind of configuration thing. So highly recommend folks check that out.
And another one we did was the Windows Azure Backup is now out of preview mode. I actually use that on my System Center Essentials box at home.
Actually, it's a public paid preview. So
Okay.
it's gone just a little bit further, but yeah, it basically allows you to do kind of some of these offsite backups up into Windows Azure. So kind of
Okay,
cool
okay,
there.
okay.
Kind of cool there.
And I think we did an interview with the next one, some people talking about that more in the DevOps side of space, which is the global service monitoring
Yeah,
is now available too.
absolutely.
Now, how does this one work? This one is different points of presence that are out there in the cloud that can now come in and basically monitor and take a look at different sets of tests and routines against your applications.
Yeah, exactly. It really enables you to kind of figure out where in the world you've got things going, what is the performance, and then that really enables folks to actually, run these real-world performance tests against, and workloads against their Windows Azure services, and then figure out, what needs to be modified, and so on and so forth.
And I believe that that actually is included with your System Center license.
Yeah,
It's
absolutely.
no additional cost, which is very, very cool.
Free.
Very good. And I did an interview with, oh my goodness, I'm blanking on the name right now, of course, but I will include the link in the notes. I want to say Cesar, but that's not his name. I'll pass, I'll put in the notes. But we announced that we are now participating in one of the industry standards bodies for Open Daylight, it's called. Which is about software-defined networking and what we do with the Hyper-V side of things at the hypervisor layer, but really light it up within System Center Virtual Machine Manager to be able to do all the software-defined networking stuff, which is very, very cool.
Yeah, I love me some software-defined networking.
You do, definitely, definitely.
Absolutely.
I've got a really cool chat coming up after this, after the break, which is, and unless you have any more news, do you have any more news?
No, that's
That's
it.
it,
That's
okay.
the name.
After the break, I've got something which is really cool. At MMS, I actually did an interview with Jeff Woolsey. And he took me on a tour of the server aquarium.
Was
And
there fish and sharks and
there was a
fish and
blue background on the wall.
sharks and servers?
Picture the fish and the sharks were actually labs that individuals would spin up. So, what, there were like 600, 650 odd seats you could sit down and fire off these different labs. That was all powered by System Center Service Pack 1 implementation, Server 2012 as the hypervisor, and our partners at HP and 3PAR and that sort of stuff came up. And had a little area you could go into and then take a look at how that all works. And you can kind of think of it as like a private cloud on steroids.
Ooh.
Very, very cool. So after the break, take a look at that one there and enjoy.
Hi there. My name is Jeff Woolsey. I'm a Principal Program Manager in the Windows Server and Cloud Division. I'm here at MMS 2013. And we're having a great time talking about all the latest enhancements and advancements in Windows Server 2012 and System Center 2012 SP1. Of course, cloud is what's dominating the conversation, and we're really glad to hear that we really all the messages or all of the things that we're doing are really resonating with you most. Now, one of the things that's really popular at MMS has always been our hands-on labs. Hands-on labs give you the opportunity to try firsthand how System Center works. Whether it's Configuration Manager, Virtual Machine Manager, Operations Manager, Data Protection Manager, Orchestrator, or more. It gives you the ability to actually go hands-on and spend time learning the latest things that we've done in System Center. The hands-on labs are something we've done for many, many years. In fact, you can see behind me, we have over 650 individual hands-on lab stations. You can come up to a lab and actually figure out, hey, do I want to do virtual machine management? Do I want to do applications management? Do I want to do performance monitoring? How about AvaCode and capabilities to actually go in there and help me debug my applications even further? Take advantage of automation through Orchestrator. It's a great way to do it. Well, the hands-on labs are something we've been doing for many, many years. And one thing I want to point out is just how far we've come in delivering these hands-on labs. Just a few years ago, for example, all of these hands-on labs behind it were all running on physical servers. But why am I pointing this out? Well, because just a few years ago, back in 2008, for us to deliver 650 hands-on labs, we delivered 32 physical racks of servers with 570 servers, roughly. Well, to put that in context from a physical footprint standpoint, that would be the size of all of those systems, and in fact, about as far back as here. That would be 32 physical racks of servers. Again, roughly 570 servers for us to deliver those hands-on labs. Well, of course, back in 2009, 2010, we did everything virtualized. We moved everything into virtual machines. We started to consolidate. And what that meant was a huge savings in power. In fact, a 14x drop in power as we went from 32 racks to these consolidated virtualization solutions. But over the years, we've gotten more refined, more automated, until we are delivering a true private cloud solution here at with MMS 2013. So one of the things I wanted to do was kind of give you an opportunity and show you how we're running the ServerQuarium itself. ServerQuarium is the name we've kind of given the hands-on lab infrastructure, because one of the things you told us was you wanted to see that how we're doing it ourselves. And we want to tell you exactly how we're delivering private cloud, how we've gone from 32 racks, crazy amounts of power, and have delivered something much easier to deploy, much faster to deploy, the ability to be agile and deploy and spin up these massive labs in just a few seconds. In fact, think about it, 32 racks, just for us to deliver this. Actually, the way this works is we configure all the hardware in Redmond, put it on a couple of semis, and actually drive it on down here to MMS. Well, because we went from 32 racks to a much smaller footprint, we were able to get rid of one less semi. In addition, again, from a power footprint, savings of 14x. So it's been a huge savings in terms of power alone. In terms of human manpower, 32 racks of servers was pretty much an entire day just to get those out of the trucks, out of those powered up, get them uncrated and unracked. You're going to see we've gone from 32 way back when to 4 over here. So let's take a look at the ServerQuarium we have for MMS 2013. Now, before I get to the actual hardware itself, I want to put in context to you what I mean by a lab here. When I say that we're doing a lab here in the hands-on lab, it's not firing up a virtual machine or a single Windows Server VM or a single System Center VM. No. That's easy stuff. We did that a long time ago. This is talking about firing up a full-on lab for every lab configuration, for every lab that someone wants to sit down at a lab and deploy. So for example, if someone says, I'd like to deploy SDIL 302, which is System Center 2012 Service Delivery and Automation. When they click deploy, that's actually deploying 4 virtual machines on the back end. VMM, Service Manager, Orchestrator, Operations Manager, and a Domain Controller, AD, DNS, SQL, and iSCSI. Using 15 gigabytes of memory, 16 virtual processors, and 280 gigabytes of storage. And again, let me put that in context. When you sit down at the lab and you click deploy, that's what we deploy. In seconds. Not minutes, not many minutes, in seconds. And again, this can be anywhere from 4 to something like this. This is SDIL 305. This is enabling secure remote users with remote app, direct access, and dynamic access control. Look at this configuration. This one's actually 8 virtual machines. That's what makes up this lab. We've got a router, we've got a file server, a direct access server, a domain controller, DA client, the admin RSAT, and remote desktop services. This configuration happens to use 18 gigabytes of memory, 28 virtual processors, 190 gigabytes of storage. So as you can see, this is not your average little old, hey, we're going to fire up a VM. And imagine that, again, these all start at the same time. So imagine 9 a.m., everyone walks in, sits down, and says, I'm going to click on a lab. 650 users out there click deploy, and this happens immediately. So we're talking about really pushing, not just running a private cloud, but pushing a private cloud to the actual very limits. Also, we have to think about the deployment here. We have some unique deployment challenges. Imagine if everybody decided, 650 folks and their labs at 9 a.m. decided they all want to run this lab simultaneously. So 650 people fire up SDIL 305, and we have to go create 8 VMs and deploy this instantly. Of course, there's the opposite to that, which is imagine when 650 people sit down and they decide to deploy unique labs everywhere. And in fact, nothing is in common. So every one of these configurations is part of our lab, is part of our lab storage. So each one of those can be deployed quickly. I'll explain to this more in just a second. Finally, let me get to one of my favorite ones. Down here is SDIL 301. This is an even bigger one. This is 8 virtual machines using 20 gigabytes of memory, 32 virtual processors, and 190 gigabytes of storage. And in case you're wondering, this isn't all of the labs. These are just a few that we've handpicked to put on the board here. But we've got literally dozens of different labs, all of these ready to go when you sit down and click Deploy Lab. So before I get to front, let me talk a little bit about the back-end storage here and the back-end of this configuration. First of all, let me point out, this is a fast-track configuration. This is an HP fast-track solution, a private cloud solution with Microsoft together. This is something we've worked on and we've continuously optimized and tuned over the years. And it's really interesting to see how this architecture has changed. Back in 2009, when we first deployed our first virtualization and private cloud solution for MMS, it was some standard rack mount servers. It was 2U servers, we used gigabit Ethernet, we used iSCSI, and over the years, we've changed, we've modernized, we've morphed it, we've made it easier and much more manageable. Let's talk about a very simple and tangible aspect, cable management. When we did this a few years ago with gigabit Ethernet, it meant we had 5-6 NICs per server. Now, here at MMS 2013, we're using the HP Flex Fabric, we're using 10 gigabit Ethernet on the back end, which means we only have to have a couple of these. From a storage perspective, we're using 8 gigabit fiber channel. So each one of the blades goes into 10 gigabit switch, all of the fiber channel goes into the fiber channel switch, which goes into the 3-par storage. So fewer cables, easier management. Quite honestly, our first rigs back in 2009, you'd be lucky if you could even see the back of the rack because there were so many cables. So that's a really nice benefit. So let's go around the front and let's take a look at what we have in terms of the actual configuration itself. So here we are, we have the HP Cloud solution from Microsoft. And again, this is a real, honest-to-goodness shipping configuration. This is a fast-track configuration. Let's take a look at the compute nodes for just a moment. So what we have here are 2 blade enclosures. These are running the BL460C Gen 8 blades. Each one of these blades has 2 sockets. Each socket has K8 cores, and then you can enable symmetric multi-threading. So essentially, you have 32 logical processors per blade. In each one of those blades, we have 256 gigabytes of memory. By the way, you can go all the way up to 512, but we're using 256 gigabytes of memory because dynamic memory built into Hyper-V allows us to be very flexible and efficient with our memory usage. In each one of these blades, we also are using the HP I/O accelerator card, more commonly referred to as a Fusion I/O card, on each one of these blades. We're using 2 sizes, both a 768 gigabyte as well as a 1.2 terabyte Fusion I/O accelerator card. And in case you're wondering why we happen to have 2 different sizes, that's just what we happened to have when we were building the configuration. So again, 2 sockets, 32 logical processors, 256 gigs of memory, and HP I/O accelerator cards on each blade. Now, of course, everything here in the entire solution is redundant. So this is a 32-node cluster. This is the Hyper-V portion. All of the Hyper-V, all of the virtualization infrastructure is running off these 2 blade chassis. Now you notice I have 2 additional servers here. This is all of the management for our entire private cloud. This is where System Center relies. This is System Center 2012 SP1. And in fact, of course, there are 2 nodes. Why? Because of course it's clustered for high availability. And again, throughout the entire rig, everything is resilient and redundant. You notice also at the bottom, those are UPS power supplies. You may be wondering, by the way, hey Jeff, why did you put the blade chassis in 2 different racks? You could have just put it down here, and you'd be right. It was actually the reason why is actually had nothing to do with technical. It actually has to do with insurance reasons. In shipping, we want to make sure that if one of these happens to, I don't know, fall over, that we still have one of these safe in another rack. So we actually do this as redundancy for travel purposes. So that's what we're doing in terms of the compute side. Now, in terms of integration with System Center, I want to point out that all of the blades were actually deployed using System Center Virtual Machine Manager, using our host deployment options. So those were all deployed using System Center Virtual Machine Manager. In addition, Operations Manager, HP has delivered some absolutely fantastic integration with Operations Manager. So for example, the blade chassis, the blade enclosures, the power supplies, everything is also funneling in Operations Manager so we can see that everything's green across the board. And if there happens to be some sort of disk fault or storage fault or power adapter fault or et cetera, it'd be notified in Operations Manager because we have that really tight integration there. So let's move on over to the storage for just a moment. Oh, by the way, from a networking standpoint, again, 10 gigabit flex fabric on the back end of the chassis. That's all, by the way, using Windows Server 2012 NIC teaming, LBFO. So of course, the networking is highly available. The storage, of course, is highly available with MPIO, with multipath IO. So everything is redundant from controllers, from cabling, et cetera, all the way in the storage. So in the storage, we've got the three-part solution. Here you can see we have the storage heads. We have a four storage scale-out solution here from 3PAR, and you can see four of these are actively running. And in fact, if I wanted to populate, I could even scale it out further all the way up to an eight-node scale-out storage solution from 3PAR. And again, this is 8 gigabit fiber channel from MPIO into the 3PAR. Now those storage heads are actually managing all of the actual spindles back here. So here we actually have three layers of different types of storage. We have 15K fiber channel storage, we have 7200K SAS, and of course we have SSD. So by having those three different layers, the 3PAR is doing automated storage tiering. So what happens is, we can determine, the 3PAR determines the automatic hot blocks and puts those in the SSD. But again, I want to point out that we have multiple levels of tiering and caching going on. So for example, there's memory in each one of the storage heads, there's the SSD, there's the 15K disks, and there's the 7200. So let me again explain to you now what happens when you click on Deploy a Lab. When you click on Deploy a Lab, again, it's going to fire up all the virtual machines that are required for that lab. It could be 4, it could be 8, et cetera, using who knows what types of resources. Okay? So what happens is, in fact, let me come on over here to one of the blades itself. So what happens is, here's one of the blades, and you can see I've got the processors in memory. So what happens is when you fire up the lab, the storage for the virtual machines is actually running here off the 3PAR storage. But the running state while you're actually running the lab is running here off the HP IO accelerator card. Because what's happening is as I'm doing my lab and I'm doing my writes and all of my changes to my session, they're being stored here and it's nice and close to my local compute and my local storage. As I proceed through my lab and once I finally click log out, what happens? We delete all those snapshots, the state from that session, and we're immediately and almost instantly ready and pristine, ready for the next user to come in and choose a completely different set of labs that's ready to go. So what's amazing about this is just how dynamic and flexible this really is. And of course, this is all requestable, which is a key part of private cloud, is the ability to go out and say, this is what I'd like to request and immediately use it. Let me again point out how different this is than what we used to do a few years ago. Back when this was on physical machines, and we had, again, 570 physical servers, we couldn't be dynamic at all. We didn't know what folks wanted to do in terms of labs, so we have to make our best guess. We'd assume maybe 100 people are going to come and look at a configuration manager lab, maybe 100 people are going to look at a virtual machine manager lab, and we take a guess. But if 200 people showed up to see virtual machine manager, then unfortunately only the first 100 would get in, and others would have to come back at a later time. Inconvenient, and most importantly, we want to provide the best usage of your time as well as our resources. With what we do now with a true private cloud implementation, it doesn't matter what lab you want to sit down, we don't have to figure anything out because they're all available. The entire service catalog, every lab is available on every seat. So when you sit down, you pick and choose whichever one you'd like to use, we dynamically configure it. And in case you're wondering, by the way, in terms of storage, if everybody decides that, you know what, the lab number one is the most popular, guess what? those will automatically be moved into the hot blocks of the three-par storage because that's the most popular. If lab number 10 isn't popular, in fact, no one's using it, then that will move to the cold blocks and stay there until it gets more popular and it needs to get moved back up. So what you're seeing here is a tremendous amount of balance across the entire system. That's what makes this such a great private cloud solution, because of the balance between compute, memory, storage, and networking. In fact, as I've always preached, balance is the key to great performance. It's the key to scale. I've always pointed out that, look, I could give you a physical server with 1,000 processors in it. Honestly, it doesn't really matter if you only have a gigabyte of memory, or a single spindle, or a single gigabit NIC. The key is being able to balance all of those resources. Well, what you're seeing here is an incredibly balanced solution across storage, across networking, across compute, I/O, the whole thing. And that's what's enabled us to run so many labs concurrently. In fact, yesterday, during one of the busiest times of the day, on our, again, 32 blades, we had over 2,500 virtual machines running simultaneously. And we looked at all of the operations manager, all of the performance monitoring, and this thing wasn't even breaking a sweat. So I'm confident that a solution like this could scale all the way up to the maximum limit of 8,000 VMs quite easily. That's a pretty impressive feat for what we're doing here. So again, if you didn't get a chance to make it to MMS this year, I highly recommend you make it next year. Definitely put it on your calendar and make sure you come by and check out the Server Aquarium. So again, thank you. And for the folks that did make it to MMS 2013, thank you very much. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Who needs sharks? We've got servers in an aquarium.
Bring your life preservers.
Cool now, interview, eh?
Neat thing from that was simply the reduction in size. I mean, he's talking like 32 full racks of servers down to just what you saw in that video, which is insane. Power cables down to just that. Mind-blowing. Absolutely mind-blowing.
Awesome stuff.
Thanks a lot for sticking around for the show. If you have any comments or feedback to us, if you could, just, you know, give us the ratings, plug up and give us a little comment and commentary there at the bottom of this particular post. We'd greatly appreciate it.
Absolutely. You can always follow us at TNEdge on the Twitters.
And I think that's finally, it. Email.
Oh, email, right? Yes.
Email, edge@microsoft.com, the good old-fashioned email way of getting a hold of us, too. And catch you next time.
See ya.